Democrats last night at their convention in Denver paid tribute to Senator Ted Kennedy. Kennedy, who is battling brain cancer, vowed to be on the Senate floor in January when Barack Obama takes office.
This November, the torch will be passed again to a new generation of Americans. So with Barack Obama and for you, and for me, our country will be committed to his cause. The work begins anew. The hope rises again, and the dream lives on.
Senator Ted Kennedy last night passing the torch and putting tears in the eyes of many at the Democratic National Convention in Denver. Michelle Obama also spoke last night. She introduced herself to the nation, spoke about values, and assured the audience that she loves this country. Today, Governor Doyle and U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin will be on hand to warm up the crowd for Hillary Clinton's keynote address. We are going to talk about what's happening at the Democratic National Convention this week with the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Joe Winicky, standing by live in Denver. Good morning, Joe.
Well, good morning, Joy.
Thanks for being with us.
Well, you're welcome.
So were you teared up last night with Ted Kennedy's address?
Well, it's been a long time, but the answer is yes.
Yeah. And was he passing the torch?
Yeah, he really was. And, you know, this comes from, in my case, I cut my teeth on the Kennedys. That's how I got involved in politics. I was a supporter of Senator Kennedy when he ran against former President Carter in 1980. And he did something very special last night. He passed the torch. And it was the excitement, the electricity in that hall. Just seeing, you know, a person who was fighting for his life make those kind of statements, even if you are a Kennedy hater, you had to just say, wow.
Yeah. And the reviews that I've seen so far regarding Michelle Obama's speech last night, pretty good.
Well, I think she did it. She's very poised. And, you know, this whole thing for the last couple of months where you get the Republican spin machine, sometimes I'm going to call it the slime machine, where somehow they have tried to take the Obama family and say that they're elitist. They both came from modest, at best, working-class roots. Barack Obama was raised by his grandmother in a single-parent family for most of his young life. And you compare that to John McCain, who's the son of an admiral who was born to wealth. And somehow the Republicans are saying that the Democrats are the elitists. And I think Michelle Obama hit it out of the park when she started talking about the real Barack Obama, their family, how things have happened for them. And once again, very powerful message.
Yeah, here's part of it.
All of us driven by the simple belief that the world as it is just won't do, that we have an obligation to fight for the world as it should be. And that is the thread that connects our hearts. That is the thread that runs through my journey and Barack's journey and so many other improbable journeys that have brought us here tonight, where the current of history meets this new tide of hope. And you see, that is why I love this country.
So, Joe, did she have to say that, that this is why I love my country?
Well, she shouldn't have to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, absolutely should not have to say it. But once again, the Republican Party does not want to talk about the economy. They don't want to talk about the war in Iraq, their failure on energy policy, their failure on health care. What they want to do is try and tear down honorable people. And, of course, the irony of that whole comment is actually, Joy, you may remember, it happened in Madison.
Yeah, where she said, for the first time in my adult life, I'm really proud of my country.
And, of course, that's not what she said. And anybody who was there knows that what they did was take part of one sentence out of context.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd listened to the whole paragraph that she was talking about how proud she is. But, wow, I mean, what else would you say? You know, the words may not have worked exactly, but her husband was going to become the first African-American nominee to be president of the United States.
Right.
Of course she's proud.
She did in that clip that we just played also say, though, that, and I'm wondering if you're worried about the Republican spin machine.
Oh, yeah.
The world
I
as it,
harsher word, but it's public radio.
The world as it is just won't do, that we need to be better.
Well, look at where we're at after 8 years of the Bush presidency. We have fought a war in Iraq for 5 years with no end in sight. We're spending $12 billion a month in that war. That, by the way, is enough to either fix our Social Security and Medicare problem or give us national health care. Instead, we're wasting it in the desert of Iraq at a time when the Iraqi government has an $80 billion surplus and we have a $500 billion deficit. And I would remind our listeners here that when Bill Clinton left office, we had surpluses as far as the eye could see. Energy prices, we went from $1.50 a gallon to $4 a gallon. Okay, it's down to $3.70. Are we supposed to feel good? The list goes on and so many things. The economy is in trouble. The world doesn't respect America anymore. We can do better, and that's what Michelle Obama was talking about last night.
Michelle Obama did get a lot of applause, a lot of cheers when she brought up Hillary Clinton.
People like Hillary Clinton. Who put those 18 million cracks in that glass ceiling so that our daughters and our sons can dream a little bigger and aim a little higher.
So she brought down the house by mentioning Hillary Clinton. What's it going to be like, Joe, with Hillary's name being put in nomination tomorrow night?
Well, I'm not at all concerned about that. I've talked to the Clinton delegates from Wisconsin, and they are united behind Barack Obama. Of course, they supported and highly respect and in many cases even love Hillary Clinton. But that doesn't mean they're not Democrats and they don't want to move this country forward by not doing more of the same through John McCain, but by going in a new direction with Barack Obama. So I got to tell you one thing, Joy. The irony, though, was I had to take a quick phone call right before that part of Michelle Obama's speech. And the place was so crowded that the police wouldn't let me back in. They said that the fire marshal said I couldn't go back in. I tried to say, I'm the chair of the state delegation. You got to let me in. And they said, no, we don't.
Oh, no. So you got locked out for the end of the speech.
For that part of the speech. I got back in eventually. But
yeah, that'll teach you to take a phone call.
But one thing it does show, it doesn't matter what your title is. I wasn't getting in.
You mentioned that all the Wisconsin delegates are going to get behind Barack Obama, even if they were Hillary supporters?
Well, I don't know. We will have some members, I believe, of our delegation vote for Hillary Clinton, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But from my understanding is Senator Clinton will release her delegates at a meeting of their delegation on Wednesday, and they will be able to do what they want. And from conversations I've had with a number of Hillary delegates from Wisconsin, they plan on then voting for Senator Obama.
Joe Winicky, I want your reaction to this new ad just put out by the John McCain campaign.
I'm a proud Hillary Clinton Democrat. She had the experience and judgment to be president. Now, in a first for me, I'm supporting a Republican, John McCain. I respect his maverick and independent streak, and now he's the one with the experience and judgment. A lot of Democrats will vote McCain. It's okay, really.
I'm John McCain, and I approve this message.
Well, you probably know, Joe, that was Deborah Bartosiewicz.
Bartosiewicz.
Okay, Bartosiewicz. And she was the delegate who was the Hillary supporter who said that she was going to support John McCain, but you kicked her out of being a delegate?
Well, yes, we did, mm-hmm. And for good reason. She violated her own trust and her own pledge that she'd made when she said that she would support the nominee of the party when she wanted to become a delegate. Now, I'm not going to try and impugn anybody's motives, and Ms. Bartosiewicz can say whatever she wants, but to argue that she was a proud Hillary Clinton supporter because of her experience and judgment on the issues, when Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama agree virtually on everything, mm-hmm. the need to get out of the war in Iraq, on energy policy, on the woman's right to choose, on health care for all, and on and on and on, and John McCain opposes all those, I think Ms. Bartosiewicz she doth protest too much.
Our guest is Joe Winicky. He is chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. He is in Denver this week for the Democratic National Convention. We're talking about what's going on there this week, what we can expect to see and hear for the rest of the week. And he's here to answer any questions you have, too. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. We have special coverage of the Democratic National Convention coming up live from Denver, starting at 9 o'clock, a special hour of On Point, which is on location at the convention. After 10 o'clock, Kathleen Dunn will join you, and she'll welcome in a variety of guests to talk with you about issues and ideas coming up at the convention. We're doing the same thing, talking with Joe Winicky, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, who, of course, is in Denver. We're talking about the race for president, the issues and ideas coming up at the convention, and welcoming your thoughts and comments for Joe Winicky. Before we go to the phones, Joe, I did want to ask you, haven't heard from you yet, on what you think of Barack Obama's selection of Joe Biden as his vice presidential running mate.
Well, I think it's a great choice. Senator Biden has, you know, 30-some years of experience in the foreign policy arena on national security issues, on issues affecting the judiciary and the rights of Americans, especially constitutional rights. And I must say, I was stunned that when I heard the McCain campaign attacking the Biden choice because it upsets Barack Obama's image of change because, you know, Joe Biden's been in Congress a long time. Well, for 26 of those years, John McCain was his partner.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm pretty sure the Republican spin machine, if Barack Obama had nominated Jesus Christ, they would have said something about, you know, he made up that thing about the, you know, about the fishes and the loaves of bread.
Now, Joe Biden's words during debates with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton's, for that matter, too, are being replayed in other ads from the McCain campaign where Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton made references to Barack Obama maybe not having the experience that he needs to lead. That's all fair game, isn't it?
It's fair game, but the national media ought to just stop. The Bartashevich ad will probably run one day. The ad with Joe Biden will run one day. Today they're doing one on Hillary Clinton in their own words. You know, they put out this stuff. It's kind of like the ad, the Lyndon Johnson ad with the nuclear blast.
Right.
The Daisy ad.
It's only on once.
It's on once.
Yeah.
Or it's on for 1 hour. And somehow the media bites into this because they're lazy. Not you, of course, Joy.
Well, no. In
because
fact,
you're a journalist and a talk show host.
We just have one question on that. And Gene in Milwaukee actually wants to talk about media coverage. Hi, Gene.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. The statement was made by the previous speaker that Obama has been getting a free pass in the press and in the media. This is contradicted by an empirical study from George Mason University Center for Media and Public Affairs, which sampled 6 weeks this summer of TV news coverage. And what they found was that Obama got 28% positive notices and 72% negative. McCain got 43% positive and 57% negative, despite McCain's confusions, memory lapses, on that Saddleback Church thing. He railed against pork barrel spending on a certain issue, and he voted for it. But the press didn't mention that.
Yeah. Thanks, Gene. So, Joe Winicky, who's getting a free ride?
Well, unfortunately, nobody gets a free ride because the press generally does not report what happens on a positive basis. And while I agree totally with Gene, and I think what's happening is, Senator Obama opened up an early lead in this campaign, and, of course, the media wants a horse race. And it seems totally preoccupied with polls, even in the middle of summer, which aren't very relevant. The sad part about what Gene said, which I agree with, is that 72% of all of the press reports, and I saw that same study, were negative about Senator Barack Obama, But the other sad part is a full 57% of the reports on Senator McCain were negative. So the media is looking for the what's wrong versus, you know, what these candidates stand for. And I'll tell you, if we could just get these two candidates positions on the issues and run on them, the Democrats would win in a landslide.
Yeah. Well, Governor Doyle and Tammy Baldwin are going to be there today talking before Hillary Clinton?
That's correct. I don't have the times yet. Mm-hmm. I will when we go to our morning breakfast and caucus when we get done with this show. But, you know, we're real proud to say that two people from the great state of Wisconsin will be speaking at our convention today. Tammy will be focusing on issues relating to women and health care. And Governor Doyle is going to focus heavily on job creation. You know, a little-known story is Wisconsin is one of the only states in the country that's actually created manufacturing jobs in the last 5 years, and I think he's going to highlight that today.
Yeah, we heard him in a news piece also saying, though, that John McCain has turned his back on Wisconsin's hardworking middle-class voters by backing the economic policies of George W. Bush. I suspect you'll hear him say that, too.
Well, I think so, and there's a reason why I was an early supporter of Governor Doyle, because he's right on that issue. You know, if you want four more years of the past, of the last eight, John McCain has done nothing to disassociate himself from the Bush policies of the last 8 years. In fact, he's voted with them 95% of the time. And that's not Bush bashing. That's not McCain bashing. That's a fact.
David Appleton emails, James Carville says the Democrats wasted the first night of the convention by not attacking McCain or Bush. What do you think of that, Joe?
Well, James Carville is the original attack dog, and I love the guy. But I don't think that was the place for tonight. Our keynote speaker was the spouse of the next president of the United States. Senator Kennedy made this incredible surprise appearance. I saw David Gergen say the same thing, but what are they supposed to do? We're having, a 76-year-old icon who is fighting just a terrible cancer is supposed to be an attack dog. The spouse of the Democratic nominee is supposed to be an attack dog. Now, if they had watched a little earlier in the day, there was enough fire and brimstone earlier in the day, but I guess since CNN and MSNBC and them don't cover that, I guess people won't see it.
Yeah, Joe Biden, the VP running mate, he's known for being able to be an attack dog.
He does it with a smile, however, mm-hmm. Joy.
Yeah.
Vice President's role is in the campaign is to often, you know, fight back. But what Joe Biden really brings to this ticket is 30-some years of gravitas, and that will show in the next 70-some days.
Yeah. Does the selection of Joe Biden, Joe, show that Barack Obama admits that he's got a gap in his resume with this foreign policy stuff, foreign affairs?
Well, I think what it shows is that he's a very bright man and realizes that while he hasn't had a long history in national security and foreign affairs, that he was going to pick a running mate who does. I mean, that just shows good common sense. Now, in that case, since John McCain doesn't know how many houses he owns, hasn't probably put gas in his own vehicle in 10 years, and has admitted publicly that he doesn't know much about the economy, I think he ought to go find somebody who deals with economics.
Yeah, Biden didn't waste any time bringing up that the seven homes or the seven kitchen tables, saying that John McCain doesn't talk about kitchen table issues very much because first he has to decide which kitchen table to sit at.
Well, think about it, Joy. Mm-hmm. This is so similar to the first President Bush. Remember when he went at the grocery store and didn't know what the scanning
mm-hmm.
machine was?
Mm-hmm.
And the price of, he didn't have any idea what the price of milk was? Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. And it showed that he was out of touch.
Now remember, the Republicans say Barack Obama's the elitist. How can you not know how many homes you own? I own one. It's me and the financial institution, and we're about 50-50 partners now after about 12 years.
Yeah, McCain was on Jay Leno last night and did say something along the lines, you know, that this election is about the economy and all these other issues, not how many homes he owns.
Well, I don't think I'd even bring it up. I mean, I'll leave it to the listeners.
Yeah,
Wayne. Do you know how many homes you own?
Yes, I do.
I know.
Wayne and Holman.
At one time, but hey. I ate in my own kitchen, Joe.
Oh, we missed that, Wayne, so sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, first off, Joe, as a Christian, conservative, Republican, I have a lot of respect for you.
Thank you.
And I heard you on Joy Cardine one time where you were 8 o'clock Friday and you were against a Republican, and he ran a home, I think, for or a ranch for kids.
Yes, yes, I remember very well. He ran for the United States Senate.
And the liberal called up and started to trash him, and you jumped right in and said, you don't even need to respond to that.
Yep.
So I say you represent the kind of Democrat that I admire.
Well, thank you very much. But now you're not going to agree with something.
Oh, I'm not going to agree with one of the callers that said Barack Obama's been getting stiffed by the press. The Rasmussen Report poll came out, and it said 50% of independent voters and even 27% of Democrats believe that the media is trying to help Obama win. And that's okay. I think Mr. Obama is a fine American, and God bless this country for bringing all of this up, a woman and an African-American,
right,
and an old bugger like me.
I'm getting old. I'm ARP eligible now.
Well, but the point is, I hope it's a fair and decent campaign. I hope it's above board. I admire both candidates. Obviously, I'll pull the lever for John McCain.
Sure.
But still, I wanted you to know that I have a lot of respect for you. And I know you want to keep it above board, too, and kind of be nice to McCain once in a while. I know it's hard, but God bless
you
both.
It's not my job, but I will say this. We are blessed with two candidates. Either one would be far superior to the one we have in office today.
Yeah. Well, let me get you to respond a little bit to Chris Lotto, the former communications director of the Republican Party of Wisconsin, was our guest in our last hour. And we're talking to him about the convention and issues in the race, but also about a piece he wrote for the Wisconsin State Journal that said John McCain is poised to win Wisconsin because Wisconsin voters are, you know, known to be independent, and we love the Mavericks and the underdogs, and this is going to be very, very close, and John McCain very well could pull it off.
Well, the John McCain of the 2000 campaign isn't running this year. I mean, explain to me one area where John McCain is a maverick in this election. He's supporting the policies of the current president of the United States right down the line on the war in Iraq, on the economy, on tax cuts for the top 1%, on doing nothing about health care, about paying for more tax cuts by borrowing. So, I mean, with all due respect to Chris, and Chris is a good guy, that's just, you know, that dog don't hunt. But, you know, you expect to say it. Now, saying that, this is not an election that we as Democrats take for granted. We are working very hard to win Wisconsin. We are poised to have almost 48 offices open up by Labor Day around the state. I think the Republican Party has four. We have 5,000 volunteers already signed up in this state. And we're going to work and work and work and work at the grassroots level to get out as many votes as we can. So if Chris, his message is a wake-up call, I'll accept it. But I think he may be drinking a little bit of that, too much of that Republican Kool-Aid.
There were some national press accounts, Joe, about Democrats that were concerned about how the polls were closing in and expressing doubts that maybe Barack Obama might not be able to win this in November. Are you one of the Democrats that's concerned about that?
No, I'm a hopeless optimist.
Okay.
No, I'm not worried about it at all. First of all, why does anybody care about what a poll says in June, July, or August? The first polls that I think people should pay attention to should be about a week after the Republican convention is finished. So you have time for all this stuff to sift through. You know, the Democrats will get a bounce in their convention, the Republicans will get a bounce in their convention, and then let it level out, and then we'll see where we're at.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. It just, though, I would think that you'd be a little bit troubled to see a 13-point lead for Barack Obama in Wisconsin start dwindling down and down and down.
Hey, I'd rather be ahead than behind.
Yeah. Barbara in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning, and thank you for the opportunity. Well, I really wonder how women could support John McCain. It's astonishing. I mean, we may have how many Supreme Court justices leaving the Supreme Court?
2 to 3.
Yeah, this is scary. Are they thinking at all now? I believe in a woman's right to choose, and for that to be taken away, and we'd still have as many abortions, but excuse me, women would be going in back alleys and it would be unsafe. And I just can't imagine any woman supporting McCain. And then I wanted to mention, as far as Carville is concerned, he didn't hear the man from Iowa last night who was so articulate and telling about the Republicans.
Representative Leach.
Yes, I had his name in mind and then lost it. And he and I have to say, I haven't felt so good in a long time as watching that convention last night. It just lifted my spirits, Joel, and I am going to be out there working hard. I was so proud of Michelle and the children, and it was just a wonderful evening for us all.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for calling. And Barbara, if I'm not mistaken, you used to be a Hillary Clinton supporter, but now you're right behind Barack Obama.
You got it, but yeah. I'm on board.
Yeah, so
totally on board, and I think he's a wonderful candidate, and I feel very fortunate to have such a fine candidate to support.
Well, that's got to make you feel good, Joe Winicky.
Well, it does, and you know, this whole notion about Hillary Clinton supporters not supporting the Obama campaign, I think that's going to end fairly soon. The only person I happen to have talked to at all in this whole debate that is telling me that she was a Clinton supporter who is supporting McCain is Deb Bartoshevich. It's nobody else I talk to. Yeah. They get what's at stake here. It is the United States Supreme Court. It is a woman's right to choose. It is health care for all. It is the war in Iraq. It is the economy. It is whose side are you on? And the Democrats are on the side of family.
What did Representative Leach say last night?
Well, Representative Leach spoke in a very calm and deliberative manner about basically why, as a former Republican member of Congress, he came out for Barack Obama. And it's because, frankly, I think that he was a moderate Republican from our neighboring state. His Republican Party has lost its soul. It doesn't represent, you know, less government, less taxes, less regulation anymore. It represents the needs of social conservatives. It's, you know, fringe issues for special interests to make sure that we can't get health care, that we take care of the top 1% instead of the bottom 99%. And that's basically in a very calm and deliberative manner. I mean, certainly not effusive, and nor should he have been. He said there's a reason why this Republican supports Barack Obama. You know, you don't hear much about that. All you hear about is this woman who joined the Democratic Party from Racine in April. In April.
You find that suspicious?
Who knows? I'll leave that up to the listeners. But she's a lifelong Democrat? Yeah. Give me a break.
David in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, you're on the air.
Well, good morning. Great show. I don't, I'm often at work and don't get the pleasure of listening, but I'm driving today, so I do.
Well, I'm glad you are.
And so I'm enjoying the thing, but I'm struck not only at this moment, but certainly in just in general media portrayal, both parties. I'm struck by the lack on both parts of addressing the substance of policy, and that disturbs me. It's almost like the whole process is being dumbed down. Mm-hmm. You know, a big populist movement on both sides. Being from Iowa, we know Leach,
right?
And and he's right. You know, or your analysis of him is correct, and that the conservatives have, or should say, the Republicans have lost their conservative soul. But nobody is addressing, you know, how it's all going to come to pass. Well, in other words, we're talking in these broad sweeping generalities about change and no more of the prior 8 years and so forth. Well, what about nobody's addressed, you know, how's this going to play? How's this actually going to play out as public policy?
Well, are you talking specifically? Well, I'm not sure I understand what the gist of your. All right, Joe, go ahead.
No, and I think the caller's points are legitimate criticism that we do tend to talk in almost a dumbed down language. You know, I remember the first time I went to a training seminar when I was running for office, and they told me to speak at a fifth grade level. But part of that, and, you know, I hate to be too critical of the media because, frankly, I need the media to be on my side once in a while, and if I attack them too often, they might never write anything nice. But they often skip the policy stuff because policy's boring. You know, the caller earlier who talked about the George Mason poll that said 72% of the Obama stories and 57% of the McCain stories were negative, is that's because the press doesn't write about good things. They don't care what your 10-point policy description on fixing the economy is. They want to know the gotcha moment, like when we gotcha John McCain for not knowing how many houses he owns.
Yeah. Well, right. David, what is the issue that you're saying on both sides you're just not hearing in the media or reading in the media about the positions that both candidates take?
Well, I take, for example, in a broad brush, everybody wants to see everybody healthy and with reasonable access to health care resources, okay? But there's nothing sustainable, in my view, there's nothing sustainable about making that, you know, a public thing, quote, free access, the European model, whatever you want to say. So no one's addressing the policy specifics of sustainability and the role of the private sector, for example.
All right. Without going into a great detail there, let me ask you, Joe Winicky, Barack Obama was in Eau Claire on Sunday, and he did talk about health care, and we did run at least a short clip of him promising that there would be health care like that is what is available to congressmen and women by the end of his first term for all of Americans. So we heard that, but we didn't hear all the details. How is he going to do that?
Well, because you'd be bored to tears if you did. Healthcare is complex as can be. How you fix it is complex as can be. But you know, especially for people, you know, we keep hearing about people who are Hillary Clinton supporters that are not sold yet on Barack Obama. Well, our platform that we're adopting here in Denver has Hillary Clinton's healthcare plan as its focus, and Barack Obama supported it. So we can compare the Clinton health care plan, which is access for all, versus the McCain plan, which leaves 50 million Americans without insurance. Now, the details, you know, are...
Okay. So that mandate that Hillary Clinton supported is in the platform now.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the one difference between their two plans.
And that is in our platform, and Senator Obama has supported it. And, of course, if you're talking, as he did in Eau Claire, about, you know, at the end of his first term, we're all going to have health insurance, that sure sounds pretty close to a mandate to me.
Yeah. Talking with Joe Winicky, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Joe Winicky in Denver this week for the Democratic National Convention. We're talking about who is saying what at the convention and the issues that are making news in the presidential race. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned for that live special from the Democratic National Convention coming up after 9 o'clock with On Point and host Tom Ashbrook from 9 until 10. And then Kathleen Dunn will join you with more reaction and analysis to what's happening in Denver. We're going to do this, by the way, all next week, too, when the Republicans are meeting in Minneapolis. That's right, they're in Minneapolis. Right now, talking about the Democrats and what they're doing in Denver with Joe Winicky, the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party. And Joe in Menasha is with us next. Hi, Joe. You're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Mr. Winicky. I was just wondering if McCain starts to get down and dirty like swift voting Obama, if you guys are getting ready for with some comebacks, because, and I thought of a couple things. You could always show McCain trying to text his listeners for his VP, and he's trying to do it on a rotary phone.
Good one, Joe.
And another one, you know, all the other talk shows all call him Obama the Messiah. They could call McCain and Abel when he picks his vice president.
Oh, no. All right. Joe's got a lot of age jokes there, Joe Winicky, but...
I would never comment on age other than I will point out that Senator McCain will be 72 on Friday.
Yeah, that's right. And he's going to maybe, name his VP on Friday. Who do you think it's going to be?
I think it's probably going to be Mitt Romney because, as you know, just as the McCain campaign was critical of the Biden pick because of his expertise in foreign policy,
mm-hmm.
I think John McCain has to shore up his economic credentials, or we're just going to beat him over the head on that. One thing that I'm confident of is we're not going to get swift-voted this time. We are going to fight back with everything we have. I mean, it was the biggest mistake of the Kerry campaign is he let that whole month of August go by. And I know why, because when Democrats hear of attacks that are just so ludicrous as saying that a person who had won the Silver and Bronze Star was, in fact, not a patriot, they say nobody will believe that. And the sad point is, yeah, they do.
Yeah. And last week we did hear Barack Obama saying, don't question my patriotism, don't hint that I want to lose a war but win an election.
And John McCain, then with a straight face, saying he wasn't questioning his patriotism.
He said he's questioning his judgment.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can fool me once, but they can't fool me every time.
Jack in Kenosha is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the program. I'm looking forward to the convention. I'd like this gentleman to take to the convention and to his fellow colleagues in Wisconsin a message. I want Democrats to really get some backbone. I want them to begin to rebuke and defend some of the attacks that are given, and I know many people are chanting the same call. I want them to destroy some of the slanders that are sent against people, like they did with Kerry. And I really want them to get up and begin to unite and tell the truth to people. And I believe, as Obama does, that if the people understand things, they'll be willing to work towards the goals that we need in facing some of the huge problems we have. But part of that is telling people that there is going to be a need to sacrifice and to work together to face, whether it's the economy, the ecology, or you name it. There are huge things that are facing us and our children. We need to deal with them now, and that calls for some honesty.
Yeah. Joe Wienicke?
Fair point. That's all I can say. You know, and here's a classic example of this, and that's why there's a huge difference between Democrats and Republicans. Take the war in Iraq. Whether you're for it, against it, or not sure, the bottom line is that we're spending $12 billion a month on a war that we're paying for on a credit card while we're giving tax breaks to the tune of $1.3 trillion to the American people. Anybody with any common sense would know that that is not how you run a government. You don't do guns and butter. You don't borrow and spend. If you did that, Joy, you and Rob would be out of your house and bankrupt.
I have to correct myself. We had an email from someone saying that the Republican convention is in St. Paul and not Minneapolis.
No, they're correct.
They are correct.
Although most people call it the Twin Cities, Joy, so it's okay.
There we go. It's in the Twin Cities. Lou in Platteville, hi, you're on the air.
I would just have a, first of all, you know, the Republican consultant who was on earlier, Zogby showing Wisconsin by 10, or Obama over McCain by 10 in Wisconsin. There's no way Wisconsin's going to go Republican. Secondly, is the caller concerned about the fact that the American electorate has absolutely become so dumbed down that when he was talking earlier, he said that he had to talk at a fifth grade level at some meeting he was at, and that Karl Rove and his people have absolutely tuned into the fact that the electorate is just not very intelligent. And secondly, that America just, the electorate seems to absolutely forget everything in 2 weeks, that there's only a two-week news cycle, and it seems like we forgot about Donald Rumsfeld. We've already forgot about him. We forgot about, you know, everything that's happened bad with this, with Bush and Cheney. Is the speaker concerned about that?
Well, I'm actually a little more hopeful about the American people, although I don't think it's dumbed down. I think what happens is people are just so incredibly busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so different today than it was even 10 or 20 years ago, especially for families with children. you know, it used to be when I was a kid, you know, in the summer I played baseball, in the fall I played football, and in the winter I played basketball, and I didn't have internet options, and I didn't have YouTube, and I didn't have all these other things. I didn't have to worry about whether I could pay my mortgage when I grew up, you know. It's a different world, and people are so busy, and their lives are so hectic, that I think sometimes public policy gets put on the back burner. Now, I am hopeful, however, that people realize, and we see this in the right track, wrong track numbers on the country, where fully 75% of the public says we're on the wrong track, that will, in the end, when we get to September and October, get the American people to focus. And I'm convinced that if the American people focus on the issues, as has been brought up, actually, Joy, two or three times by our recent callers about issues, Democrats win.
Yeah, I mean, and we're not necessarily forgetting about Rumsfeld or forgetting about the war in Iraq, but right now it's paying the mortgage that is more on our minds.
Hey, Joy, I got to tell you how screwy it can get when you're on mountain time.
Yeah, why?
I kept waiting for that 7:30 break.
That's right. You're in the big time prime time hour now, and thanks for getting up early for it. Carrie in Chippewa Falls, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my comment or question is regarding the negativism in the ads. You know, I work really hard as a parent to teach my kids to be positive, and you stated earlier the stats regarding media's negative attention
right
to the candidates, and I see more and more negative ads come out of McCain's camp than I see coming out of Obama's camp, and more positive ads coming out of Obama's camp, and I'm wondering what the percentage is, or if there's been any study done on the percentage of positive ads versus negative ads by the candidates themselves.
Well, when you're behind, you tend to go on the attack, and everything the McCain campaign is throwing out there right now is negative, and it's a daily barrage. I just can't believe that the media is buying this stuff where they cut an ad, they run it for 6 hours, and it's on the national news for the next 12. It just makes no sense to me. But the problem with what is positive, what is negative, you know, a lot of ads nowadays will do a contrast or an attack on the opposition, and then will also have a positive statement about themselves. Is that a negative or a positive? I don't know. Here's what I want. I want factual ads. If it's the truth, that's truth to power. And if the ad is factual, I don't care what it says. It's when they twist and turn and twist and turn. And I will say this. The Democrats are not completely pure in this area either, but we're a lot better than the Republican lie machine.
I wanted to ask you, Joe, Ralph Nader and his supporters are trying to get on the ballot in Wisconsin.
I assume they'll make it. Yeah. Not that difficult.
Bob Barr is yelling about not being included in the debates that were announced recently. What factors, if any, do you think these third-party candidates are going to have this year?
I think it'll be limited. I think Ralph Nader's time has come and passed. Bob Barr will have some negative impact on the Republicans, but I think it will tend to be in states that are more difficult for a Democrat to win. Now, if there's a place where Bob Barr could really hurt the McCain campaign, I would argue it may be in places like North Carolina, Virginia, and Georgia.
Danny in Madison is with us now. Hi, you're on the air. Danny, Hello? Are you there? Hi, Danny, go ahead.
Yeah, my question is this. On Thursday, I went to the Concord Coalition's IOUSA movie and then open forum, which went across the country. And their basic premise, as you know, is that our debt is out of control now and will
They're
soon
right.
be insurmountable. And their premise at the end of the movie, by as much nonpartisan guys as I could see, there were some Democrats and some Republicans.
Yeah, they're pretty nonpartisan.
Basically, that neither party is doing anything of consequence to tackle what they see as the most major issue. I think it's the second behind the environment. But what do you see?
No, I think it's a fair criticism, except you just have to go back to facts. And when it comes to deficits, the last time a Democratic president left office was in January of 2001, and we had surpluses as far as the eye could see. We were predicting $6 trillion in surpluses over the 10-year cycle of the 2000 to 2010 cycle. In 1 year, George Bush turned that surplus into a deficit, and this year we have a $550 billion deficit. Now, the Democrats haven't come up with every solution how to fix it, but I got to tell you, I get tired of every time the Republicans go and spend ourselves into oblivion, and then the Democrats have to be responsible and fix it, and then the Democrats get kicked out because we're making people take their medicine.
Yeah. Let's go now to Luba in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I just want to mention McCain's record. Number one, he voted against the extension of leave of soldiers who are going back to duty in the Middle East. Voted against the medical increase for the military. Voted
GI
against
bill.
A GI bill for the military. Mm-hmm. His son spent a year or less in the safe spot in Iraq and now is in a position in Washington. And that's about it.
Well, I will agree with everything you said except for this part about the son. I mean, John McCain served honorably. I'm sure his son served honorably. What happens there, I don't think is fodder for the political campaigns. But the rest of your point, right on.
Yeah. Joe Biden has a son who is going to be serving in Iraq. Yeah. So what do you expect to hear from Hillary Clinton tonight?
I think a message of inclusion. I think she will be clearly talking to her supporters. And I really believe that at the end of the day, that if you were a Hillary Clinton supporter and you're still not sure, you weren't paying attention, because Hillary Clinton is going to knock one out of the park tonight, and it is going to be a message of unity and hope for the future.
Yeah. Do you expect that she's going to have a place in a Barack Obama administration? Or
I don't know why she would want to, unless it was like the United States Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be a major player in a Democratic Congress that will be able to work with a Democratic president to enact her signature issue, which has been health care reform for 20 years. She's got a real chance to make history here by finally making America the last industrialized country in the world to provide health care for all its citizens. If you wanted to know what your epitaph was on your gravestone, that'd be a darn good one.
Then we hear from Biden on Wednesday. Well, anything?
And Bill Clinton.
And Bill Clinton, that's right. And then finally, not from the convention site, but from some huge stadium, Barack Obama on Thursday.
Although it's within a mile of the other place, so.
Well, it's not too far away, but it's still, it's a little bit different. Normally, the nominee...
Joy, all I ask for, if anybody really loves the Democratic Party and likes Barack Obama, pray for clear weather, because I don't want to get soaked.
All right. We'll leave it there, Joe. I hope you have a productive and fun convention.
Yes, I've got to go run a caucus in 5 minutes.
All right, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Joe Winicky, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, joining us from Denver. We will be presenting a variety of viewpoints on the Democratic Convention all week long here on the Ideas Network. On this program, we will be carrying the On Point special, Kathleen Dunn, and for that matter, our afternoon programs as well, talking politics. We'll do the same thing next week when the Republicans convene. Tomorrow at this time, by the way, the youth vote. We'll be talking with the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse political science professor who has researched the youth vote, and we'll talk about what the candidates are doing and need to do to win over the young tomorrow at this time. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.